Hey everybody, welcome to another episode. I am Michael Petro, and on the show this week, I get to sit down with producer, director, actor, writer, Darcy Waite. We get to talk about his start in film, working his way across Canada, coming out of Alberta, landing in Manitoba, DJ Burnt Bannock. That's awesome. Bullseye, all the stuff that he's done, Indigenous storytelling in today's film setting, and tons more. The guy is so much fun to talk to, such a laugh riot. Darcy, thank you again for letting me bug you for so many weeks to finally get you on the show. I had a blast. I look forward to having you back with the rest of the cast to do some dumb shit. We'll stop talking about all the serious shit. Anyway, so that's who's on the show. That's what's on the show. I got nothing else for you in the pipe. As for housekeeping, we do have some dates coming up. We just haven't solidified them yet, so there's no point in putting that out in the universe until it's signed, sealed, and delivered. Anyways, so that's it. I'll do that thing. I'll cue that reel. You enjoy Darcy Waite, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome to the Real Debaters podcast. I've got Darcy Waite on the show from all things fucking awesome. Like, you direct, you write, you produce, you're in front of the camera, you're behind the camera. Like, you just love to fucking play make-believe, right, in whatever way, shape, or form. That said, though, Jimmy was the one who turned me on to you because of comedy, and you'd come out to comedy nights and stuff like that. And then I was like, okay, cool. And then I started watching all your shit and seeing, like, as soon as you see it, like, where I work in construction, and whenever I see my equipment somewhere, I never saw it before in my life. I never saw boom lifts and scissor lifts and generators. And now I can't fucking not see them. So as soon as I saw your name, I couldn't not see your name, because the things that you're doing at Eagle Vision, the stuff you're doing at APTN, like, I, through my day job, I've talked to Rebecca, I've talked to Kyle before, like, there's a proxy there. So you just all of a sudden fucking graft right up in my world. And I couldn't get enough of your shit. So thank you for finally having a fucking moment to come on the show. I appreciate that you're taking your off time to come here, dude.
No, absolutely. It was, I wish it could have been sooner, but no, I'm happy we're doing
good things
this.
Come to those who wait.
Yeah. Crazy. I'm 29 and I've been doing this for 10 years. And
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a third of some professionals' careers, man.
Yeah. That's a third of my life. Like,
never mind yours. Yeah. No kidding.
Which is like, it's, you know, I got into it like, was in university, didn't like what I was doing, was in nursing, and I wanted to do something more. I tried an acting class.
What did you want to do? See, I know what film, it's obvious why everybody wants to be in it, and I want to talk to you guys because it's fucking fun. But what made you want to be a nurse?
My dad was a medic in the army, and then
oh, he's an army nurse, so he's a fucking badass nurse.
Yeah, he was pretty cool. Like, you know,
I was in the military for a second.
Oh, nice. What'd you do?
I was training to be 2RCR at a gauge town in New Brunswick.
Oh, okay.
I did my basic. I did almost all my battle. And then a medication issue came up.
Oh, no.
And they were like, gotta go. And I was like, aren't you short on soldiers? And they're like, still gotta go. And I'm like, you're fucking idiots, man. I signed up for the raw shit. Anyways, go on. So your dad's a medic.
My dad was a medic, and he showed me all this medical stuff when I was a kid. And he'd be like, when he was going through it. And I thought it was always cool. And then, but he was, you know, he thought, my parents wanted me to have more discipline. You know, I was this kid, you know, farting around, getting in trouble. You know, they finally, you know, I got in enough trouble where they finally had me. And they're like, hey, if you either do the punishment or you're going to go into the military. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll do the military. And so I was like, it's an easy way to make like a couple bucks. Did my basic training. And at the end of my basic training, like, what trade do you want to go into? Because it was an Indigenous program. And so I was like, well, I don't want to carry heavy stuff. I don't want to be an infantry person, and I don't want to be stuck in a tank with other dudes. I would be a medic. You know, my dad was like, oh, it's easy, you know, fun. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to choose that. And then did my last year of high school, did a soldier qualification, and then got into university in the nursing program. And then did some more medical courses and stuff like that in Ontario. And
was this at the Royal Military College?
No, it was in Borden, Ontario. I was just a reservist.
And okay, all right, all right. Yeah.
So it was really cool.
That's a great backdoor way to get in, man.
Yeah, and so you're just like, okay, cool. I'm in this night.
I went full bore. I was like, I signed up like 2 weeks after 9/11 too.
Oh, wow.
Like my paperwork went through then.
Wow.
And I was like, are you fucking? They're like, don't worry. And I'm like, fuck you, don't worry. That's what the recruiter's telling you to say.
Yeah, what's happening here? And it was an amazing experience. Like, I got a lot of discipline and stuff like that. I learned, you know, that I can sleep in a hole for 2 weeks and I can really push. Like, for me, it was like
how much. See your face in your boots?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like,
shine parades, man. You're all burn shining. And
the funniest one, parades, is like the funniest parade I ever had to do was so parades, like, where they like get you to change a bunch of times or didn't they call it a parade? We had
to fucking hell.
It was crazy. You had to do like a change parade. And so like you're changing your outfit every 5 seconds and they're yelling at you.
I did one of those.
Yeah. It's so funny. And you know, I'm like 17 and blah, blah, blah. And then they made us do like marching and like drill in our bed. Cause they knew we weren't sleeping in our beds. So that the next morning when we did inspection, we wouldn't have to make our beds. And so they made us get in and then just do drill and sort of like messing up. We're marching in our beds.
Like, are you doing like salute of arms and like present arms and shit?
Yeah, all oh that my stuff God. In bed and you're just sitting there. And it's just like, I thought it was absolutely hilarious. I was like, I was always getting in trouble because I was messing around.
Yeah, Gomer fucking Pyle.
Yeah, it was funny. Like, I remember this one time I forgot my locker open and.
Boot locker or like clothes locker?
My inspection. No, I think it was my. My own locker, but if it's unlocked, it's fair game.
Yeah.
So I've done this a billion times in the military and inspections. And so they go through it and it's like, I become this Christmas tree of CAD pad and he's like just tossing stuff on me. And he's like, I'm sitting there just giggling. And he's like, I'm getting yelled at cause I'm giggling and I'm laughing at this cause it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's probably 6 a.m. and I'm dead tired. And, I think it's super funny. Like, oh man, I did so many crazy things. And like,
Did you notice how much shit they pull from the movies?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Full Metal Jacket shit. Yeah. Like, my sergeant would come up to me in the hallway. He's like, get any mail today, private? And I'd be like, no, sergeant. And he's like, can I be your mail?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Fuck. And then you laugh and you're down. You don't laugh, you're down.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
Fuck, I think, man. I think we came up on the same mentality, like, the same part of whatever the military was doing at the time. Yeah. How long were you in it for?
I did it for about 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did reserves. I mean, my last year was I was kind of on my way out of the door. So they kind of like, I wasn't really going to work as much. So they still continued it within my service.
Sure.
But 6 years, 17 till probably, I think 2017, about 5 years ago, I got out.
That's crazy, man. Yeah. So you do the switch to film.
Yeah.
Or whatever. What did you switch to initially?
When I was in university, I didn't like what I was doing. I was a nerd. I was going through some crazy times. Like when I was 18, I moved out really abruptly. And then you're trying to figure out who you are as a human.
Crisis of conscience.
Yeah. And so you're just like, okay, I'm on my own, you know, and there's like, you know, I want to go to university. So as I went to university and then I was like, well, I don't want to be studying all the time. I got my first
fuck
ever.
That.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'm fine. You know, I'm a big kid.
I'm gonna play.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I got my first A.
Dude, a pirate sees a pirate.
Yeah. Yeah. First A in sociology. And I got D's from the rest, like for the rest.
Yeah.
I took one acting class because I did a little bit of acting in drama. I was like, but I was a big jock. I was like, oh, acting is, but I secretly wanted to be
John Travolta in Grease,
a performer.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to dance.
I just wanted to get out there and make people laugh. No. And so I just went through a breakup and I was like, well, you know, I got nothing else to do.
Better to do than take my fucking broken heart.
Yeah,
see if I can act.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, acting classes in Edmonton. And then the first thing that popped up and I was like, okay, I'm just going to do that. And it was almost like a Kijiji deal. Like, it's like what you're not supposed to do. And it's like page one, day one stuff that they teach you is like, don't take Kijiji deals. That's probably porn. It's like, I don't know how the audience is of this, but you know, whatever.
Educated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Loves dick and fart jokes.
Okay, perfect.
Predominantly male. Don't worry. You haven't lost the female audience. We never had it.
Okay, yeah. Perfect.
All good.
And so,
I know we do, but we didn't, like, we don't have it. Emily brings it.
And so, yeah, so it's like, you're not supposed to do Kijiji deals. So I emailed them and I was like, hey, I want to join your acting class. And like, okay, perfect. Join, like, come to this apartment. So I go to the apartment and then they bring me to the back of the apartment, into like this conference area. And they like, hey, this is our acting classes. You know, give us your deposit and show up to this house in a week. And no red flags have gone off at this time.
No.
And so the day comes and I'm walking to this house and it's like, yeah, just go into the basement and the acting classes are in there. And so I'm like, okay, one red flag is like, okay, I might die right now.
Yeah.
But I want to be a performer.
So, that's true. You're fucking form, man.
And so I was like,
but I want to be a performer.
And so I go into the basement and this older lady comes out and she's like, hi, are you here for the acting classes? And I was like, I guess this is legit. Nobody else is here. And this, you know, long story
short.
This
is a fucking movie, man. This is a scene in a movie.
And so like more people show up and they finally introduce it. And you know, it's crazy. Cause like 4 months later I was on set on Blackstone acting with, you know, it was crazy. You know, I was shortlisted for a big role on that show and, I'm really happy I didn't get it because I got a big ego and I was like, I'm Darcy, da, 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 da. And I had like, you know, I kept getting shortlisted for things and
that'll do it to you. That's the what did Denzel Washington say to Will Smith on the Oscar night? He's like, the devil will come for you when you're doing your best, the devil will come for you, right? So sure, whatever. You're human.
Yeah. And so I was doing really well for like, you know, big, you know, worked out really well and then it was just like dead. Like I was terrible at acting. I wasn't doing the work that you need to, you know, put it on a good performance.
Hone your craft.
Exactly. And then I started sucking in school because I discovered Netflix and
chilled.
Yeah, Netflix and just didn't go to school. And like it was like, oh man, I think I binged watched House, Dexter, and Lost all in one semester.
Oh, that's an emotional roller coaster of fucking television.
Yeah,
I've seen all of those. I've seen two of them three times, House and Lost. That will do it to you.
Yeah, exactly. And all of a sudden I'm getting like D's and failing classes. And I was like, okay, and then at the point I was like, I don't think I want to do school, like regular university. I was in UVA and I was like, I don't think I want to do regular school. I love this acting stuff. I'm going to be an actor. And, you know, so I dropped out. I got into, it's called Red Deer College, auditioned, got in.
And is that where you're from originally, Red Deer?
No, I'm actually from Brandon. I was born in Brandon, raised in Calgary, and then for a little while I lived in Edmonton. And then since then, I've been kind of bouncing around quite a bit until I found Winnipeg.
Okay.
And
so welcome to our armpit.
Thanks.
It's awesome here.
It's got its...
I hate when I'm human. See, I make those dumb Winnipeg jokes like everybody else does. And then you're like, no. I've lived here all my life, bought a house here. Why the fuck do I make dumb jokes like that?
Yeah, it's like the last... house, the last place you can kind of buy a house, like it's in affordably, like
yes, yeah, totally right,
yeah. And so so I didn't tell my parents though, like they knew I was been acting for this little bit and they thought it was like a side, you know, it's like, oh, he'll grow out of this, it was a phase. No, it wasn't a phase 10 years later.
And if it is a phase, just phase in the next part of my life.
Exactly, you know, paid for the house. And so like I didn't tell them and my university sent them the acceptance letter. So that's how my parents found out. So I come home from Thanksgiving dinner or whatnot or Sunday dinner. And I see this letter on the counter. It's all ripped open. And I was like, oh shit. I mean, cause my parents were like, you know, they, you know, your good job to them was, you know, physical therapist, you know, your teacher, you know, engineer, like that's what they wanted me to get.
Yeah.
Into.
The old 50s jobs.
Yeah. And I was like, have you met me?
I can't sit still and I want to make shit up.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's like, you should be a stand up comedian. Like when I was, you know, 18, like, yo, you can go to bars, you can do stand up. And, so I tried stand up during the same time where I started acting. And I was like, no, my agent, you know, I want to be considered a serious actor. And so I kind of let comedy, I stopped being, you know, trying to be funny. And I was like, I'm going to be a serious actor. And so I'm sitting there with my parents and I'm like, oh man, I got to tell them I'm quitting school, like the U of A. And I'm the first person in my immediate family to go to university. And I'm leaving. And so
I'm out the door at the same time and I'm doing this.
Yeah, exactly. And so I quit. Go to Red Deer College, and it's like the most craziest experience, like emotionally, with like, you know, just as a human being, like growing up, like you have like girlfriends and exes at the same time, and then you're acting, and you're, you know,
must suck.
Yeah, it's like I guess everyone probably goes through it and stuff like that, and you're just like, you know, you're an emotional.
Yeah, I went through it too.
Yeah, and then you know. You know, you're getting propped up by teachers and you're like, oh man, you're such a, you know, you're a great actor. I mean, I was working really, really hard and, you know, cause I was like, you know, I got 9 months and this is it. Like, you know, if I get out of this, you know, I'm gonna make my, you know, make it worth it. And, I met a great teacher, Larry Reese. You know, he was on, The Forgiven. Like he did, that was with, Gene Hackman, Morgan Freeman.
Oh, Unforgiven.
Yeah. Unforgiven. Yeah.
Do you know that I've read this and I want to believe it. Maybe you'll find this interesting. I think that the Clint Eastwood character in that, I talked to the props master of that film, Goodine, after the whole thing happened with the Rust production, with the Alec Baldwin thing. He came on the show and I was like, hey, can we walk through what you would have done if you were there? And we got like a full, like, this is how it should have been done moment. Super cool. Anyways, I digress. I believe in my heart of hearts that the man from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, the gunslinger, the Clint Eastwood character, this is him retired.
Oh, okay.
They never confirmed it, but if you like look at the timeline of like an old hitman slash outlaw picking up the guns again to, you know, go and deal with shit, you're like, that's the same guy from, you know, right? So I was that X-Men, whatever, but yeah, that's a big film. I mean, that was an Alberta, that was a big Alberta production, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so, and he also, so he was a cool, like, I mean, he got residual checks from it for like 7 cents, which was really cool.
That's so fucking, like, why send it? It's not worth the fucking the paper.
Post, 100%. And then he also did Brokeback Mountain.
Oh.
He married.
I can't quit you, Elwood.
he thought it was a porno. He's like, he's talked to my agent because we both had the same agent while we were in university. And he's like telling me the story. And he's like, E, this seems like a porno. Like, I don't know if I want to do this. And he's like, no, it's not. You're okay. You're fine. You know, like, and that's as agents would do. No, you're fine. You're good. And you get there and it's just like, okay, take your shirt off. No.
Is it that greasy? I mean, I watched Entourage enough to form some sort of, you know, lesser than opinion of what that show represents. But I imagine that that's the roided out version of what you must go through. Like, I'm sure there's good agents and there's shitty agents. There's good people at every job.
Yeah, there's good agents, there's bad agents. I mean, there's agents for each level you get to, you know.
Do you trade up? Like, when you
do,
get,
yeah,
when you get to a certain point, you're like, because the romance is, I've had him since, or her since I was, you know, auditioning knee-high to a grasshopper or something.
Yeah, there's different levels. Like, there's starting
out. So what's it like being in CAA?
I don't know. Like some agents give me a bad, you know, like
bad
I get kind of grumpy because I'm also on the producer side. So it's like, I've been on both sides where it's just like, you know, you're trying to deal with an agent or your agent's not working for you. And you're just like, I don't know. That's why I kind of just do my own stuff.
Because then don't have anybody to report to.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about anything. Like, I'm just like, if I want to do a comedy and I want to, you know, do a strip scene, I'm gonna write it and I'm gonna do that strip
scene. Dude, your opening scene to Bannock is you shooting dollar bills in what I can only imagine is either a hospital or an elderly care home, and you're obviously in a job that your character Kevin hates.
Yeah.
And he's trying to spice up doing aerobics with old people, and then you DJ Sexy, is that
DJ Dust Bunny.
DJ Dust Bunny, that's it. Has a heart attack.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah.
Exactly. And that role would have never I've never seen that role in my entire, like, you know, little 10-year career. And that's, you know, so it's like agents, I don't know, like it's, there's good agents and there's not good agents. And you always have to find an agent that works for you.
Sure.
And right, you know, so I, you know, I have one right now and, you know, we're doing pretty good. And, but yeah, so it's like, you know, your agent will, she convinced them to, you know, my teacher to do Brokeback. And he's like, yeah, he met like, Heath Ledger and he saw the start of Heath Ledger's relationship. Like, he saw them start to get a little bit like, hey, what's up, you know? And he's telling them, I'm like, that's crazy. This guy's like, you know, and he's teaching me everything I know about acting. And, you know, without him and my agent, who was also my acting teacher, you know, I don't think it would have set me up that foundation that I have, you know, because I don't have, like, I'm not a theater kid. Like, I don't have, like, you know, I technically have some training, but I don't know what I'm doing. Like, that's why I don't do acting classes or anything like that. Like, you know, I make fun of everybody. Nobody's, you know, and I always tease acting teachers. It's like, you know, they, you know, you get one role and all of a sudden you're an acting teacher. And it's just like, I'm like, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. I'm just winging this shit.
And I think that's the beauty of improv. Cause I mean, you like sketch a lot, obviously it shows, right? Your sense of humor is very like, just the cousin dynamic with you and Robleskis and Burt Bannock is just stepbrothers. It's all over, right? Like, I'm waiting for one of you to be like, there's enough room in here to do activities, you know? Oh, like,
I'm
and so that's your jam, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm so influenced. Like, I grew up on Adam Sandler's movies going, you know, and
Step Brothers. A good question. Like, what makes you laugh and who do you find, like, what influence do you add? Adam Sandler, yeah. Happy Madison Productions.
Yeah.
Eczema Gross.
Yeah. All that stuff, right? Like, my, you know, my, oh, hey, what's going on?
I don't know.
It's the camera. The camera doesn't want to work for you.
Nah, it's because I didn't do the tightening of the.
Oh no, it's all good. I'll give you a second to, you know, this all can hit the cutting room floor.
Oh yeah, that's
what. Or I can give you guys some.
See that little M right there? That's how you get rid of a section you don't like in your recording. Oh, that's my
so
marker.
Smart.
Yeah.
See, I don't. Yeah. I'm,
now we won't edit this out, and everybody will be like, "Oh no, no, he does those tricks."
Yeah, lose it behind the scenes, bro.
BTS at RD podcast.
Yeah.
Go on, sorry.
Yeah, so it's like. I grew up watching like Dumb and Dumber, Cable Guy, Happy Madison stuff, and then
yeah, you're dick and fart jokes all the way.
Yeah,
your slapstick, your physical comedy, your big loud
Farley, like all that stuff is like I grew up on that and stuff. And
oh yeah, that translates in your shit very.
Yeah.
Even you, and that's awesome. Is big and animated and down by the river, right?
Yeah, exactly, and it's like. You know, and I wasn't like that at first. I'm, you know,
because you were an actor.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm, you know, and it took me a while.
Daniel Day Lewis, motherfucker.
Yeah, basically Dollarama version. And so it was. I had a great director on That's Awesome, and he broke that out of me. He's like, there's more in you. There's more in you, and he kept being like, just grinding me. And I was like, does he even like what I do? Like,
yeah,
am I just dog shit at this? Like, and. He was just he's like, there's a wall there. You're not letting yourself be free. And it wasn't until I think it was doing, I grew into it, but I did a show with Brett Dyer, who's on, Jane the Virgin, and School. And there's another sketch comic, and he's so funny. Like if he would have been a little bit older, he would have been the next Jim Carrey. Like they just would have replaced as Jim Carrey was kind of taking a step back. He would, and he was so influenced by Jim Carrey. And what he taught me was, you know, usually I'm the crazy person and people have trouble to follow me. I was having trouble following him and bringing him back because he was just so fast and he just was so free with what he does. And he just taught me so much about just being like, he's like kind of, I mean, I'm gonna swear on it, but it's kind of like, fuck it and go for it. And that's
fuck motherfucker, fuck shit, piss, funk, cut, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turd, and twat. And like,
so, all good. and there's no boundaries anymore. Like it's like you just go for it, right? Like that's and that was like you know one of the scenes for Magic Mike was you know on episode I don't know episode 3 DJ Brent Bannock was I was like what's the craziest shit I can get away with, and I was like these dudes lose their gear and then they have to go strip dance at a male dance night. To get their gear back.
That's where's that from? That's I know what you're doing and it's fucking brilliant, but I've seen that fucking bit before and it's such a funny bit to take your two characters and make them do the thing that will completely embarrass them.
Yeah.
Right? In the fucking studio and on I know
And it's all came from That's Awesome. Like that was the start of everything.
So you filmed That's Awesome before you did Bannock.
Yeah. So That's Awesome was my first, that was my opening gig. Like that was my big break.
Okay.
And before that, I lived in Edmonton, moved to Winnipeg, bounced back and forth. And then I moved to Edmonton full time. And my acting career was kind of in a shitter. I was producing a little bit and I didn't know if I was going to act anymore. Cause I was like, oh, I'm going to go off and I'm going to be a producer. And That's Awesome, you know, they reached out because of a friend and were like, hey, we want you to audition to the show. I didn't think I was going to do it. Then they sent me one last bug. I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. Stereotypical, did it, got it. But it was funny because how I got it was I was working locations on a show on season 1 of Burden of Truth.
Yeah, you were saying you were cleaning toilets. Go on
I
with
was,
that.
Yeah. So I was, it was.
Burden of Truth is super awesome, by the way.
It was a good show.
I went to school with Peter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was a year behind me.
Oh, that's crazy.
So when he did his first acting gig where it was like a mad driving commercial when he was a kid, he was like, he wanted to sit in the front and his older brother was like, geek in the back. And so like, we'd always just give him shit. And then obviously Kristen Crook, Smallville, right? Like that was a fucking hometown production.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And Peter was so influential on that. Cause I was like, yo, Peter, I got this audition. Like I got to fly to Montreal. What do I do? And he's like, honestly, just go have fun. and you're not going to remember any of this because it's going to be such a whirlwind. And it was like, I flew to, it was my first time in Montreal, couldn't read the menus, trying to order some chicken and do the audition, get sent like thrown in a plane and sent back to Winnipeg. And just like, holy smokes. And then I didn't think I got it. Like, I was like, you're generally here within 2 weeks.
What was the audition? Like, what did they, like, did you have to read? Yeah. Did you, like, how do you, I feel that they found, like, Kamala Khan, who's playing Miss Marvel, just a sweetie. I've only seen 2 episodes, but I've seen enough that I will eventually get back to it and be like, all right, I'll fill my Marvel puzzle. But just endearing. You're naturally endearing on that show. So I think he was just trying to break whatever issue you had with being free so that it lined up with your natural personality so that you could like be as loud and like you're doing the one I watched, you're doing the robot and you're just like, but it's funny.
It's
man,
so
like
fun. Yeah.
it's as soon as I saw it, I was like, okay, they did the one clip they did where I first realized it was you were there and then you were way in the background.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then I started to pick up on you come out in the robot hat and I was like, no, you're in on it. Like you're with the journey. You're part of these kids experiencing something and you're the neutral ground for two people to be around. Like if it's, if something's happening, you go stir shit up.
Yeah.
So like that I feel you can't read a monologue for, can you? Like,
no, it's like the audition was fun. Like, I mean, it was intense because I was doing set and then I would go home after a 16-hour day or 14, whatever long, crazy long it was. And then I would learn my lines and I'd have to set my alarm for the next day because I'd fall asleep learning my lines and then go to set, do my lines at home. And that was like a full week because I had a week to prepare. And then I was in the plane over and it was just like they wanted to give me, I think they wanted, you only get an hour to audition. So it's like you do a quick interview. And then you do like a kind of like a mock version of the show. They slap it together. And then, but I guess, you know, and then I was just, I improvised once and they're like, oh, you know, like, they're like, hey, you know, can you guess your special guest? And it's like, is it this person? Is it this person? And I was like, you know, they're like, is it this person? I was like, it could have been Steph Curry, but he said no. So it's this person.
Sure.
And then the director laughed and then you know, I started to, he kind of pulled that a little bit out of me. And so I think that was my saving grace was like, okay, Darcy, like he wants to play. Like he needs a little bit more time. And
yeah.
And so it came down to me and two of us, it was another guy. And you know, the director was wanting me and you know, I was, you know,
he who shall not be named.
Yeah, exactly. We're not even Facebook friends. Just kidding. No, I'm kidding. Oh, no, he's a great guy. Levi is a great guy. Like he ended up being a writer on the show and stuff like that.
Sure.
Good dude. And so,
so you're flying, like I'm going to watch all of it now. Cause give me a new platform to watch shit on. There's so much stuff on Lumi. It's fucking it's great. Amazing, like I was going through it and I was like educational kids, fucking TV shows, reality, two guys making bannock burgers that are fucking funny. Like, you know, all you can just rip through it. And I was like, sure, sign me up, whatever. Yeah. Right.
Oh, it's amazing.
And, but yeah, like it's super fucking enjoyable. It's educational. It's watching somebody have a journey, which we all like in our reality TV now, right? Like that's why you watch reality cooking show where people are vying to be the winner of $500,000 or something, right? Yeah. Like, and it's wish granting too, so it's fucking dopamine dumps.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's such a, I think what APTN Lumi has done is just incredible. Like DJ Burnt Bannock, I don't, because it's so crazy and I'm an untested person. Like you know, it wouldn't be around without those guys. Like, I'm going to pitch you an idea. It's like two cousins. They're trying to make a music video to go viral and they're going to get arrested. They're going to strip. They're going to, you know, do all this and this, like, and you know, it's going to be blah, 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 blah. Like it was such a crazy idea for them to be like, yeah, here's some money. It's just like, all right. Like, and
you have a crew, man. There's like almost 50 of you. Like
it ended up being a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be.
And I mean, that's easily like, that's proof of concept to be a half hour regular.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, that's always the hope. Like I wanted to, you know, to kind of, it has legs and see, you know, I'm in the, trying to get it off the ground into a big series and stuff like that.
If I had money, I'd give it to you.
Yeah. I'll take it. You know, I'd take anything.
I'll clean toilets on your set.
Yeah, 100%. Just to be there. We'll get you on set and everything.
And chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets. I know that's become a big thing. Like I made like 3 chicken nugget jokes and now all of a sudden I'm a big fan of fried chicken. I love fried chicken.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy because I've been tweeted by, it's, you know, doing stupid things on social media. I've been tweeted by like Popeyes and Chipotle and Krispy Kreme and all these brands. So I'm like, it's one of my life's goals to become a brand ambassador for one of these brands, like a Chipotle dude or like a Krispy Kreme guy or Popeyes. I'm actually really loving Mary Brown's right now.
Yeah, they are good.
They're just,
there's one over in the Walmart on Taylor.
Oh, so good.
Their popcorn chicken's really fucking good.
Yeah. It's like we almost go, I mean, I might lose my Popeye sponsorship for this, but like we almost go to Mary Brown's more than Popeye's now.
Because sure.
It's like a little bit better. And so, yeah, it's like fried. I think I have fried chicken and I try to make a fried chicken joke in every show somewhere.
That's your trunk shot, like Quentin. Right?
Yeah.
Like that's your little fucking zhuzh.
Yeah.
So like, With all of these things, like what's kind of next right now? Actually, I'll ask you what's next for you. And I think I'm interested to see, am I right? 7th Gen you're hosting?
Yeah. So that's the next one. So 7th Gen's coming out.
Yeah.
You know, fingers crossed for more seasons.
The girl that you're doing it with.
Ivana.
She in the first shot in Verbank? Okay. Yeah. All right. I was like, I recognize that lady. Tell a listener what that's about. I'll butcher it.
Yeah, 7th Gen?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a great show that celebrates indigenous people doing cool things like in business, school, arts. And we kind of just highlight what makes them such a cool person.
Yeah.
And it's a really cool, inspiring show. And they get to do crazy stuff on that one too.
So you get to do the same thing where you like, do you think that's awesome kind of parlayed you into being like, all right, let's do this with adults now.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It was, I remember cause it was in talks. Like I remember the I did That's Awesome. And then I unfortunately got told that it's like, hey, you know, we didn't get canceled, but it was one of the producers like, hey, you know, I want to retire and you know, it's kind of the end for me. And I was like, okay, you know, so I was like, okay, how do I replace this show? And I knew another production company, they were trying to get the show off the ground. And I was like, hey, you should let me host it. You know, I did really good with That's Awesome. AP10 kind of likes me. Let me try it out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We repackaged it, sent it in, got the green light. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And then took a little bit of a while to get it all off the ground and stuff like that. And then I got another show called Bullseye, which is the first indigenous game show on AP10. And that one was, so that was happening at the same time, both of them. And that was insane. Like
Bullseye looks, tell people what Bullseye is. Bullseye is like half game show, yeah, half trivia, all energy. Yeah. Like there's so many different, it's like a Ellen's Game of Games type thing, but it's indigenous,
yeah,
right?
Indigenous. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's like Bullseye is my dream job.
Really?
Like it was a 7-day shoot.
For how many episodes?
13 episodes. We shot 2 episodes a day.
Jesus.
And that was all in my head. And it was such a fun, like I would do that in a heartbeat. If they're like, hey Darcy, you want to do another game show for like, and you never do another show again. And that's, I'm like, you know, what, Drew Carey on, you know, The Price is Right.
He's cashing his own fucking check 100%, for 20 years.
100%. Yeah. I would do that. I would like, I'd be on a beach, you know, I'd be, you know, orange and I would be hosting a show.
You gig economy people are the only ones who understand. I'm not gig, but I think I understand what you go through. One gig that you love, that you have control of until you die.
Yeah.
That's the dream job.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Absolutely. If I could be, if my career could end up like it's always sunny in Philadelphia, guys, I would be like, I wouldn't need to do another show. I'd be so happy. I'd be like a pig in shit. I'd be so happy.
Well, and that's such a easy show to be like, let's do this. Let's try this. Let's try this. Like it's open ended to the point where you can't put those four into a room and not try something new.
Yeah. It's so fun. And like, it's cause for me, it's not about like the awards or the accolades. Like I've been to the big show.
Bullshit. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I've done the film festivals. Like I've done Berlin Alley, you know, and, you know, looked up on the big screen and there's like, you know, Johnny Depp and, you know, William Dafoe talking about their movies. And then my little movies playing in like the off, you know, the dark corner roof.
Yeah.
All that fun stuff. And you know, it's fun. But you know what the best part is going on set and just, you know, being like, I can't believe someone's giving me money to do this and said yes to this. And like, we'll do it. Yeah. Why not? You know, like that's what gets me up in the morning to make another joke or write another show or start pitching and stuff. It's like to hear, you know, when they yell cut and then, you know, I think there was one time on That's Awesome where it was like, they would yell cut. And then the sound guy was just like, he was just bursting out laughing. He's like, dude, I was like, cause they put me in like a bear costume and like, he's like, the way I was like, because it's like, oh, you're supposed to bring this thing. And I was like, oh, I thought you meant bear costume. And he's like, dude, the way you rub yourself and say bear costume.
That's the shit I'm talking about. Did you watch Lego All-Stars with Will Arnett?
No, I haven't.
You're doing the same shit he does, man, where like he'll come in and like break part of their shit and be like, I'm sorry. Like, you know,
I'm sorry, yeah.
And like, but he's always offering his salt and pepper of whatever the scenario is. And that's what you're doing in that show with those kids. Like, you know, too bad it couldn't keep going, because it's a great place for fucking kids to watch and learn shit. And at the same time, like, I'm old, but I'm still like, that's funny, right? Like, it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
I'd watch it with my niece or nephew, right?
Yeah, it's a great show. And we had great experiences with the kids. Some of the kids were like, this is crazy. And then it was kind of crazy, because this is where it kind of gets weird, where you're like, I'm just a kid, right? I'm just a kid who came from, you know, I grew up in this like foster care system and stuff like this. And, you know, and to have kids be like, yo, I came onto the show to come hang out with you. And you're just like, oh shit. Like, that's, it's crazy. You're just like, and it kind of hits you, and you're just like, whoa. And then like, you're like, kids are watching me.
You're in the
like,
box, dude.
Yeah. You're just like, holy. And then like, you know, I remember we're on Bullseye and you know, they were asking like, why, I think I got choked up a little bit. When I was like, why'd you come on the show? And like, oh, cool. You know, it'd be a cool experience. And then I think
hang out with Darcy.
Yeah. One of the youth was like, actually, saw your video and thought you were a really cool dude. I want to hang out with and just meet you. And I was like, wow. Like, it stopped me. I was just like, holy, like, you know, like it's a weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's a head trip, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's, you know.
Because you're you.
Yeah. I'm just me. Like, I'm a kid.
I'm laughing at Adam Sandler shit. What do you think I'm cool for?
Yeah. It's like, I'm just me. Like, I didn't do this to, you know, be a, you know, I'm not even a celebrity, but like, you know, just to.
I had you on because you're one. No.
Yeah.
You know,
like it's. Yeah.
Is Bullseye filmed here, or are you taking off to do that?
Montreal.
Montreal. Okay. Yeah, cool. Is that where APTN's head office is?
No, it's the head office. They have offices in, I think, Vancouver,
Winnipeg, Toronto, Montreal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so I just lucked out, you know, in Montreal. They really like me over there.
Paris.
Yeah.
No, New Paris.
And so they, they keep giving me jobs out there. And I love Montreal. I spent 2 summers out there for 6 months and didn't learn any French, you know.
Poulet, by the way. Poulet.
Poulet.
Chicken joke.
Yeah.
One for the show.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, in Montreal, they have this, it's called Saint-Hubert. And it's their big, basically their Swiss Chalet.
Okay.
And the delivery drivers drive around in I can only say it's a smart car chicken. Retro to be like a chicken, and they're in yellow, and they got the little chicken thing, and then they drive around the city.
That's amazing.
And I was like, this Montreal has just such a different culture to the rest of Canada.
Well, they want to leave Canada because they know their culture's better. Well, in some ways, but
it's a little bit more like a little bit slower, and you know, they take time to like have a coffee and a coffee break, and you know, whereas this in Western Canada is like, oh my god, get this coffee as fast as I can.
Yeah, put it in my veins, back to work, crunch numbers, rah. Yeah.
And they're totally. Like, you know what? I'm gonna have my coffee break. Don't talk to me. And it's like, what? Yeah.
Can't imagine shooting a film out there. I'm just gonna have my coffee break. Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
We're fucking rolling.
Oh yeah, like you'll be on our sets, and it's like, you know, subs come up, so like food comes up, and then people are just grabbing it and grabbing it. I went there and it was like, okay, we're going for a 15-minute break, and the set just shut down. I was like, whoa.
This is badass shit.
Yeah, I was like, I've never seen this before.
And quiet like, as a church in here.
Yeah, and then they all come back about 15 minutes later, and they all get the, you know, it's just a different mindset, and it's a little bit easier on the people and stuff like that. So it was really cool.
Before we get into, like, the fun, dumb shit about what you're watching and all that stuff, I'm... as everybody learning about stuff when it comes to Indigenous entertainment, Indigenous film constantly, and being in this province, there's a huge market of it. And I don't feel it has, I learned, like when I had Roger on, I learned stuff, right? You worked Lost Moccasin with him, which is a fucking killer documentary, like super heartbreaking. Yeah. As someone who is an only child and was pummeled with big tent pole and stuff like that, I'm not exposed to a lot of stuff like this. So I genuinely like learning, because how I learn best is through the fucking idiot box, right? And if something educational and meaningful can come at me, then all the more the better.
Yeah.
I won't read the book. I won't go to the course, right? Not that I don't like to, but it's just not my medium that it's...
Yeah, at least you get your information.
So I know you did some stuff with Madison Thomas.
Yeah.
And I know she's a super up and coming director here. Doug Mitchell was like, you should grab her before she gets too big and has no time. But like, what stuff that you watch that's in the diaspora? That's the word. The indigenous diaspora that you like, that talks about the stuff that, you know, you see yourself on screen. Cause in Bannock, you're putting yourself on screen. You're breaking into your language. Like those are great. Like the comedy is the best route to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious from your side of things, like what should I watch? What should listener watch? What's something out there that we should be in touch with? That's not always on the fucking tube.
I don't know. I'm just a TV guy. Like, I mean, you know, I read a lot of books, but it's audiobooks and stuff like that.
Whatever it is in that media, that entertainment realm, something that you could shout out on the show so that we're all the better for it. Or just talk about Madison's new fucking film, because that's the finality at dusk.
Yeah, finality at dusk. I mean, anything
is that out already or is that coming?
No, it's coming out.
It's right coming now. Out. Yeah.
Like, honestly, I would just say, like, just go out and find your genre in the indigenous industry and you'll learn something.
Okay.
Right. Like, that's what I kind of did too.
Ooh,
right?
Simple. I like that.
Yeah.
Just go find indigenous horror.
Yeah. If you want, then it's going to happen. Right. Like, we're kind of hitting this new wave of, like, we're starting to become like, we're having people who are like specialized in genre.
You're disrupting the industry in a really cool way.
And we don't want, like, the big thing of why I did DJ Burnt Bannock, or I do what I do, is because, you know, I didn't see myself on screen in this specific representation.
Sure.
That, you know, like, because of colonialism, because of growing up in the foster care system, I don't have a connection to, like, the community, like, as a res. And you know, and for me, you know, back in the day, you'd have some, like, you know, identity crisis a little bit, you know.
Sure.
Like, you know, when an indigenous person goes up to you and is like, what's your community, what, you know, they go, where are you from? And you're like,
what treaty, right?
And then you're like, shit, man, like
Edmonton.
And you're just like, damn. And you don't want to, like, because it was, you know, back in the day, like I couldn't tell, I wouldn't even talk about it. Like, it was so, I went through a lot.
How do you
don't want to tell someone?
Yeah, right? Like, it's you. Right, like, I don't have, that's a little heartbreaking, right? For anybody who looks like their culture in any walk of life, but doesn't identify with their culture because of happenstance.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, it's nobody's fault.
So I was super lucky to grow up, you know, my mom is Cree and stuff like, so I was very super lucky. I was very, you know, I'm, you know, so thankful. And I mean, she's like, you're going to know, you know, where you come from and your culture and stuff like that. But I don't have that connection to the, and so that's why I wrote DJ Burnt Bannock, because I was like, I want to write a family, you know, who's still in touch with their indigenous, you know, their indigenous culture, but it's not about being on the res. It's not about, you know, this and that. It's about being in the city. And,
existing.
Yeah. And, you know, being successful and, you know, their connection is through the Friendship Center. And that's, you know, I, you know, like I was one of those kids, like my auntie ran the Boys and Girls Club, you know, in Calgary, and I was one of the kids on the hockey team.
Sure.
You know,
you get it. Yeah.
And so it's like,
well, and there's a lot of community in Bannock. There's a lot, like, with grandma and the cop and Sarah. Luby. Luby.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to fuck that up.
Yeah, it's all good.
Sorry, Sarah. I'm getting her on the show.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's going to be a wild interview.
we're expanding into musical theater.
Oh, okay.
So I want to get theater, because I'm like, it's kind of rude not to. Yeah. And I'm like, it's not on a real, like, TV or film. But still fucking in the...
People love their musicals, man. Love show tunes.
I know, right? It's
not my thing, but, you know.
I've heard her sing, so I'm like, maybe I can get her to do a fucking intro for our show.
Yeah.
but point is like, yeah, it's just like, it's fucking charming. It makes you pay attention, and you do it in a very just nondescript, this is who we are way. And it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, and what I'm seeing now is just like, back in the day, it would be like, okay, you know, you have your like Blackstone and your, we're from the res and da 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 da. North of 60. And it all had to do with this certain way. And I was like, you know, that's not my show. That's not my story.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to do comedy, and I don't see enough comedy. There's more, you know, there's more to us than
this. Best way to educate.
And so I was like, we'll just do my own show. And then now I'm seeing, like, you know, there's a bunch of, you know, we have Blood Quantum and a bunch of other younger
Reservation Dogs.
Reservation Dogs.
Tika Watiti, right?
With those guys down at the 1491s, and they started doing comedy, and then, you know, Sterling Harjo did his, and then we have Rutherford Falls. Like, we're seeing this break out into genre, and you know, in Canada, like, oh, you know, it's genre, not really genre, like, you know, focused like they are in the States and stuff like that. And but I like, and we're starting to see it though. And, you know, I'm definitely starting to see it on, I was just talking to APTN Lumion. They're like, yeah, we're starting to see a lot more you know, comedians and people who love horror, and that's what we, you know, what we see is what they want, like our audience wants.
Horror's the cheap way to do it too, right? Like that's what I think. That's I always say a first time director gets a horror film, right? Or goes at it, because you can do a lot with a little.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right? It's not about a, if you have a $200 million horror budget, what the fuck is wrong with you? First of all, the things you could do, but like you could get away with 10-20 million. And really fucking shine it on.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing. Yeah. Dude, like, you know, and that's, you know, like it's.
And I would imagine with your culture and the history and the heritage, there's a lot of stuff to pull from.
Yeah.
Like Mother Earth and all of, like, pardon my ignorance, but like there's a lot of lore there.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. You have to be very careful though, because like it has to be done right.
Yes. Oh, it has to be done by Indigenous, for Indigenous. Yeah. For
like,
sure.
I'm but just saying. Also like. Protocols and stuff like that, like, you know, where you have, like, if you're going to be dealing with the spirit realm, you need an elder to kind of guide you through it. And so that's kind of
So interesting.
And so we kind of did that with Finality, because Madison Thomas, the director of Finality of Dusk, has some, you know, she deals with the spirit world and stuff like that. So we brought in an elder to kind of guide Maddie through that, you know, and that, you know, eventually I'll get
there. That makes the movie that much better. Yeah.
And so it's done properly, and that's what being, there's a difference. That's why, like, you need Indigenous people to tell Indigenous stories. You know, white people can come help us out, but because there's, you know, you have to take your scripts to ceremony. If you're going to be dealing with, you know,
These are things that the common, that
you just wouldn't know.
You just wouldn't
and
know.
It's, and it's nothing. You just wouldn't know. Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's why with DJBB, it's like, you know, we have a little bit of spirituality, but it's not, I don't deal with the spirit, because I didn't, you know, I grew up with elders and I grew up going to ceremony and stuff like that, but I'm still learning. You know,
sure.
A little bit more about the spirit world and stuff like that. And I'm still on my journey.
You're being sensitive to something that you don't want to.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit there and like, oh, you know, white people want me to do this. And it's like, you know, I'm like, I'm going to stick to my story. This is me. Like, I'm not going to tell, you know.
You tell your story.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. And that's all you. And that's all you can do, right? And tell your truth. And so it's really cool. And so
That was a fucking great answer.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk dumb shit now.
Yeah, absolutely. I can go anywhere. I can tell, you know, people tell me to.
All right, so like you had a laundry list of stuff. What did you last watch? Like what did you put away like two nights ago, or what have you closed recently that's still fresh and on your mind?
For me, it's Afterlife with Ricky Gervais.
Okay, good. I was hoping that was close. Yeah. Is that not just a fucking, like, just a lesson in dramedy and finding the humor in the super dark?
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. Like, because it hit its home. Like I have, you know, I was like thinking about like the poor Ricky Gervais. Like that is the hardest, like he looked at like the hardest thing, like suicide and losing your partner, and how I'm going to make this funny. I'm going to pitch it. I'm going to keep you for three seasons.
Yeah.
And you're going to be engaged.
Yeah.
That is I'm like, want to talk about the hardest thing to like, you know, write about and make it good like that, you know? And
you're playing like, with offending the audience
yeah.
just as much as you're not being hard enough to talk about the, like you, there's a fucking, there's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Probably done multiple ways, but there's one lane.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. And so it was like, you know, and even mine, like, you know, there's moments where, you know, he's having a beautiful moments with his partner and I'm sitting there like, man, I couldn't imagine losing my partner. You know, like it'd be so rough. Right. And like to go through that, what he's going, it's like, you're just like, oh man, like, you know, I'm feeling shit right now.
Yeah.
It's like,
and then the next scene, it's him and Mophead. I can't remember his name, but it was his writing partner from the other series.
Yeah.
The guy from Derek.
Yeah.
Making the most inappropriate sexual comments in the middle of a serious moment.
Yeah.
And he's like, he knows that. Like the joke there, yes, breaks the tension, but the joke there breaks you out of your emotional state.
Yes. Yes.
You go, you literally chemically change from being locked on him and being like, oh my God, don't kill yourself. Please don't please don't kill yourself, Ricky.
Yeah.
To an awkward moment with a dumb joke. And you're like, I'm back in it.
I'm back. Yeah. It pulls you in and out. Pulls you, like, it's just, and that's like, that's the craft of writing. Like, and that's what kind of what we did, like with DJ Burbank on the fourth episode, where it's like the breakup scene. And I remember writing that and I was just like, you know, I had to like,
what am I pulling from today?
Yeah. Like what kind of emotional heartbreak am I pulling from right here? Yeah.
How do I make him ugly cry?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you're just like, hey, I'm going to pull this from, you know, and that's what he did so beautifully. And you're just like, oh man, some of the scenes, you're just like, I can't believe he's getting away with that. And like, I remember the scene that's sticking out in my head, spoiler alerts, you know. But this dude, they're at a coffee shop, and this dude is talking to his baby, and he's doing like baby talk and stuff like that. And then Ricky's like getting annoyed with him, and he's like, dude, be quiet. Like, nobody, not the whole world doesn't need to hear what you're saying to your stupid baby. And then he's like, it's just words, man. It's just words. And so he starts making fun of his buddy. He's like, oh, you fat tub of shit. Aren't you so fat?
It's just words. It's just words.
Yeah. And he looks over. It's just words, bro. Just words. He's like, seriously? Are you fine? I'm just like dying laughing because it's so petty. And it's just like, it's just so funny.
Are you a fan of Letterkenny?
I am, yeah. I watched the first four seasons. I'm not as caught up, but I started the first couple episodes of
I can see the Jared Kiso in you with your Canadian humor too. Like yeah. your deadpan dumb looks, your goofiness, like yeah. it's all very familiar and it's all very fun mm-hmm. at the same time. Back to Ricky though, you're right about the writing comment.
Yeah. Just like
and I why is it always Why is it always those guys? Why is it always the comedians that can really get to the heart of something? Like you give it to somebody who's a writer director who pulls in $30 million paychecks. Yeah. They're never going to pull at your heartstrings like that. Like I think The Notebook's the last true like fucking romantic heart, I don't know, Theory Amongst the Stars with you know that kind of shit, but truthfully, like emotion don't come that easy anymore.
I know. I think it's like where you think where comedy comes from. Cause it's like, you know, I think funny people, it's like in indigenous culture, like humor, like laughter is medicine.
Yeah.
And you know, you'll be with your family and they're, you know, you're dealing with some like just horrible, horrible stuff. And then someone's cracking a joke and you're just killing yourself laughing, making fun of this one thing that's killing all of you inside. And you know, like
it's not inappropriate to solve a horrible situation with laughter.
Yeah.
And even so if the joke is inappropriate, it's never inappropriate.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, you know, I've been in terrible situations with my friends and we're joking about stuff. And you know, and I think that's where my comedy comes from, is a lot of tragedy. You know, it's like I've been through some shit in my life. And that's where I pull it from. That's where I'm like, you know, like I love hearing people laugh and stuff like that. And it makes me laugh. And, you know, and I think that's like with Ricky's show, I think, you know, that's, you know, he can pull from tragedy and stuff like that. Cause you know, you've had those experiences.
Well, he's got you at your lowest.
Yeah, exactly.
So as much as at that point, it doesn't take much to get you out.
Yeah.
He pulls you right back in the opposite direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you just like watch it recently? Like,
yeah, like I finished the last episode last night.
Okay. Yeah.
Like
I'd put it to bed a couple months ago. Yeah. I think it was almost a winter show for me and Shauna because we were like in the throes of COVID depression, extra long fucking, you know, catastrophic Game of Thrones winter's coming, all that shit. And I was like, I need some sunlight and some OJ. Like I need
some laughter here.
We only do them in like two episode installments because it's just like, I tried to do 13 Reasons Why in one run. Oh my god, dude.
Like, I don't think I got through that. I was like, I'm okay. I'm good with skipping this show.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there was parts that I was like, I can't hardly believe that this is actually this much on screen.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And not for like the influence that it unfortunately caused, but just for the fact that like Netflix, I was like, man, you guys are you're laying out some plans here you shouldn't be laying out. But
Oh, that's crazy.
I just watched a thing that I really thought I was going to enjoy because its track record has been better than worse, but Jurassic Park World Domination, Dominion, Domino's Pizza, whatever the fuck it is, the most recent one, didn't like it.
I wanted to go see it.
You know, it's 2.5 hours, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you need 2.5 hours to talk about dinosaurs for?
Yeah.
Dinosaurs do get boring after an hour and 40 minutes.
That's what,
So we don't give a shit about the humans. Like, it's great to see the three of them, like Ali Sattler and Ian Malcolm and Alan Grant, all back together on screen. But like, they ham the shit out of that up and they really abuse it. Like, don't make me stop you from seeing it. Yeah. I just compare it to Dino DNA, right?
Yeah. Well, you can exactly like the first one, right? Like
even the second and the third one still hold to the book.
Yeah.
And I was a huge fan for the book.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard barely used in it.
Oh, really?
Very brief. There's a whole new story. It's always been about cloning humans. Yeah. It's never really been about cloning dinosaurs, which they alluded to in the last one, right? Yeah. So they pick up that story without, you know, spoiler too much. But there's some dinosaurs have feathers now, which was really cool because you're always like, you know, that crow is probably a velociraptor 65 million years ago. Yeah. But I outside of that, I gave it like a six and a half, seven.
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch it when it comes up on the one of the streamers or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's on my Plex account, so I just watched it. I didn't upload it. I didn't break the law.
I didn't break the fucking law. All legit over here.
What else you said? You said you, what's Minx? You mentioned Minx.
Oh, dude, I was going to bring it up.
Okay,
it's like, it's
what is it?
I think it's one of the best shows. It's one of my favorite shows, actually. And it's about this young woman who's trying to start up a feminist magazine, and the only in the 1970s, or I can't remember.
Oh, I think I saw something.
It's so good, and Jake Johnson's in it, and the
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, the only person who's gonna give her the magazine is a really greasy porno magazine publisher named. Now his name escapes me because it's so greasy. It's awesome. And
wait a minute, is Minx about Playgirl?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Like a parody of it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So it's the fair sex being like, we can show dick if you're going to show vagina.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, and she's trying to start this feminist magazine and try to like talk about big issues and stuff like that. And then,
it's just big dick. No, yeah. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, I mean, you know, don't watch it when you have kids in the room where they're going to be like, what's that? What's that the antelope nose doing there? So,
that was a porno set.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, well, there's some things we're going to learn a little bit sooner than we thought we were going to.
You brought them. Yeah, and it's their education.
Yeah, exactly. But it's such a funny show, and you know, his publishing company is called Bottom Dollar, and he does like, you know, these magazines, and he gives her a shot, and it talks a lot. You know, it's about like, because you know, there's so much, you know, back in the early 2000s, it was like, you know, American Pie and Bandcamp and all these, and it's just like, you know, and it's just like we show boobies everywhere, and then on this show, you just it's wangs everywhere, and you just kind of get desensitized to it. You're like, oh, look, another one. Oh, cool, another one. And just like, I'm loving the story, and I'm loving these characters, and they're just trying to fight for, you know, to make the world a better place.
Sure, yeah.
And you know, there's that stigmatism of. You know, of sex workers and all that fun stuff, and they're fighting, you know, the conservative mindset and stuff like that, and it's just it's beautifully written, it's beautifully shot, it's just fun, it's just like, damn, like they did, like it
did
looks
you,
like a
did
fun
you
show.
Trip over it, like did you just you were like, ah, that's new, let's try it, or did somebody tell you?
I think I saw it on Instagram. Okay. Jake Johnson probably put it on his Instagram. I was like, what's the show? I've never heard of this. And like, I just love comedy. Like, I'll watch anything comedy. Like, I remember watching, I can't remember, there's one film, and it was an Italian film at the Berlinale Film Festival. And I was like, because they have the program of like what they're showing, and like, hey, you know, and I was like, I don't want to watch it. I'm going to comedy. And it ended up being a really fun comedy from, you know, I think it was Italy. And it was about this man who has to go back. And it was a Christian, you know, religious film. This man like gets knocked out and has to go back to like save Jesus in the stables and stuff like that. And then he has to say, cause he's a horrible person in real life, and he has to save Jesus. And then he goes
back. In the afterlife, he has to save Jesus.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, this is fun. And so yeah, it's like anything comedy. Like I love, like I even shows, like I love, Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Is that her name?
Oh, from Fleabag.
Yeah, Fleabag.
Some fourth wall Fleabag.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, I remember I binged Fleabag. I've read the play, which I don't read because I read like a 5-year-old. So I usually listen to audiobooks.
Pop up books and big letters.
Exactly. If there's if I can't color in it, then don't even give it to me. you know, that's why we have adult coloring books. And then Gus Kahn, who does Man Like Mo Bean, which is an amazing show on Netflix, and it's about a Pakistani, I think, a guy who's taking, I think his parents go back to India, and he has to take care of his sister, but he's, you know, he has a troubled past, and he's
Man Like Mo Bean?
Yeah, it's so good.
It's on Netflix?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I would definitely go watch it. And then that, and then there's like Good Luck Charlie. No, Better Luck Charlie or something. It's another one with Idris Elba, and he plays like a DJ who once got really big, and then, you know.
Yeah, I heard about that show.
Yeah, and so I watched that one too, and it's like, okay, these are like, I love what Britain's doing with their comedy, and I was like, oh, okay, let's check this out.
Idris is a DJ though, which
is
cool.
Real DJ, yeah.
And also a Muay Thai kickboxer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
did that movie? Did you see that show he did where like he went to Thailand and
learned how to Muay Thai fight? Did two fights while he was shooting Pacific Rim.
That's crazy.
Crazy, because they were like, you know, usually when, and you know, when you do a show, you get insured. They insure the actor so that if they go down, the production still can make some, you know, they can make their money back.
Yeah.
And
insurance pays the salary.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, you know, so you're not generally when you're on a show, you're not supposed to do anything that's going to get you hurt. And here he's doing Muay Thai fighting and stuff, everything you're not supposed to be doing. And it's just an amazing, because it's like, yeah, that's cool. That's just so cool. And to do it with, I think he did it within a year, like never doing it to like two professional fights against fighters.
And you're watching him just get his shins beat with bamboo. Oh, like, my God. That's why crazy. He needs to be Bond.
Yeah, he does. I think, why is he not Bond? It's crazy. It's great. Daniel Craig is done, you know, and bring the next one in.
Yeah.
And it should be Idris Elba.
It should be.
It should be. We should make the decision right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Barbara Broccoli.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever's the producers, this is, you know, you listen to this and you listen to me now.
Yeah. Listen to the producer I got in my studio.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck your Amazon MGM owned shit now.
Yeah.
That really broke my heart, that Legacy Studio selling out like that. I mean, they're just owned.
Yeah.
Right? They still have the property. Like, speaking of, if you look behind, those are all the studio lots.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
So you can, like, they're the newest iterations of the studio lots, the Warner Brothers, Paramount, Sony, Disney, cool. and the Universal backlot with all the, like, really, cool. all the buildings and shit that they shoot at. Anyways, back to the conversation at hand and not the art that I've put up in here. I'll ask you this before I let you go.
Yeah, no, all good.
You're from Edmonton, but you work here. And I used to ask this before, and I've just forgotten because I'm an adult stoner. Why, like, what's so great about working in Winnipeg Film, Manitoba Film?
There's an industry.
Work.
Like, I can only really work in like four places in Canada, like Vancouver, Calgary, Winnipeg, Toronto, Nova Scotia.
Okay.
Halifax. I think they have a good film.
You're not allowed anywhere else? Did you fuck up somewhere?
No. I think I'd work at the Arts Council and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
It's only like I can make the money that I make and do the cool things. I don't know. Like, honestly, I'll tell you, like, the story of me coming to Edmonton or Winnipeg, I got into a program with the National Screen Institute, which is a training program here in Canada and Winnipeg. And I had a friend, the industry was dying in Edmonton. And I had a friend literally was like, hey, you should move here. And I said, okay. Didn't really think about much. And, I was like, okay, looks like some indigenous film here. And I don't know what the film scene is here, but why not? I'll move here. And it just lucked out, right? You know, it's like I had when I was in film school, there was he ran the biggest theater production company in Northern, in the territories. And he was a good friend of my teacher, Larry, and he kind of came to talk to us and he's like, you know, here's the best advice I can give you. He goes, you're getting out of school, you know, Toronto, Vancouver, the big cities don't need another broke, starving artist.
That's honest. I like it.
And he's like, you know who needs it? Your home, where you're from. They need it. They need you to make art for them. They need you to make theater for them. They need you to do what you do for them. And I was like, damn.
That's really smart.
I was like, that's some powerful stuff.
It totally makes sense because when I watch chef shows and the chefs are like, I came home instead of going to the LA or New York, I came back to Podunk wherever because these people need good food.
Yeah.
We need your dumb shit.
We need fart jokes, man.
Your shit's great. What I mean, right?
I make low-hanging fruit stuff and I love it and I'll never, like, I'm a
pirate sees a pirate.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a B-movie guy, like, and I always make fun of jokes on set. Like, I can't write on serious shows and I can't direct on serious shows because I'm always like, I produced a film with Maddie that's going to be coming out. It's a short, a sci-fi short, and then I played one of the roles. And I was just like, oh, I can't make this. Like, I would not be able to not make this show and not turn into a B movie sci-fi comedy. Like, I was like, man, would it be funny if we did this and then this? And it's just like, this is.
Wouldn't it be funny? This is never funny.
It's like, just say the lines, buddy. Just say, like, I wrote lines on a page. This is your job. Do it. Let's make our day. You're producing this, right? So obviously, you were going to put yourself in overtime there. I was like, you know, so, it's just fun. Like, it's, you just kind of, you know, Winnipeg has been a great hub, you know, and is it, you know, I don't know my future, but, you know, it's been great. And if I'm here the whole time, I wouldn't, you know, I'd rather you travel a little bit more to Hawaii, so it's a little bit warmer.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wouldn't honestly, and deep down, I wouldn't be bummed. You know, I'd be okay with it. Like, sure. If I was here, like, I mean, you know, like, I'm 29, you know, the film industry and this has been so grateful, you know, great to me. Like,
there's new studios opening up here. Yeah, there's more works coming here.
Yeah.
It's being globally recognized, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's not just Winnipeg trying, it's Winnipeg doing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
Manitoba,
like,
doing.
Exactly. And it's just like, okay, like, you know, I could have finished school and become an engineer. And make, I don't know how much they make, 80, 90,000 or something like that.
More than us, yeah.
Yeah, and just like sit at my desk and be bored. Well, it's like, you know, I make good money. And I, like, yesterday, even I was writing my new show, my new web series. I have a show with Warner. I just got into the program with the Academy, and it's with Warner Bros. And
And those brothers.
Yeah, yeah, just
bury
yeah.
the lead, fucker.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the show, this is when I'm gonna bring it up.
Fuck.
Yeah, and so I was like writing my show, and I mean, I'll give half of it away, but it was just like, you know, they're opening up a Friendship Center. It's like, okay, what, you know, they want to put on a big hooray for the home opener, and the B story is it's called, I mean, I have to change the name because it's too close to Big Mouth, but Coach Steve, he's supposed to run the basketball team, and he during a practice, he's showing them how to, like, you know, do a relay or like a drill to the net, then drive the net, and then he dunks it and he rips off the backboard and hurt and like
scuba Steve.
Yeah. and he rips off the backboard, and then all of a sudden they don't have a net for the tomorrow's home game, and this big rally's happening. So he gets the team and he comes with this great solution. They're all giving him like, why don't we do this? And they're giving him all the right solutions. And Coach Steve is like, no, this is what we're going to do. So they go to the outdoor community center, and they go like one on one side of the court, they're playing basketball while Coach Steve and the smallest kid on the team, Benny, they're stealing the back rim of the outdoor rink of the outdoor basketball. And they get caught by the cops and arrested. It's like, and so it's like, you know, I get to do that, like, you know, and Winnipeg allows me to I can afford to live here. I can do my job. You know, and I can go still make comedies and you know, and I'm not, you know, I own my own house and I'm not living in a two bedroom with, you know, five other dudes and, you know.
No offense to our listener.
No,
who
exactly.
Who is five
no
dudes
offense.
And no, I'm just saying there's five guys who listen to the show in one apartment.
Oh, really?
I'm,
yeah.
I'm kidding.
Well,
I'm
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah, no worries. Costco has a great discount on lotion. I'm just saying Costco has great, like, discount packs on massive amounts of lotion and Kirkland Kleenexes, okay?
Just listen to our voices and enjoy the, yeah. the lotion and Kleenex kits.
Exactly.
Oh, shit. Well, dude,
yeah.
This has been a blast.
Oh, this has been awesome. Thank you.
We're going to do this again.
Oh, absolutely.
Jimmy says hello.
Oh, hey, Jimmy.
Jimmy's at Nope right now.
What?
Yeah. He's going
I want to go see that. I can't go see it. I'm supposed to go see it with my partner. So.
Okay. Yeah. I can't convince. Shauna and me don't movie together that much. Okay. Yeah. It's a running joke that, like, I'll watch whatever she watches, but I'll watch what I have to watch.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, which gives me a ton of fucking freedom, but then I'm like, I want to see you react to Thor's butt when we watch Thor together, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
The little things.
Yeah.
But this has been a blast, and we'll do this again. And listener, thank you for listening to the show you listen to weekly. If this is your first time, go backwards a few episodes, get to know us. Listen to our newer stuff. Our earlier stuff is there for you after you've gotten to know the better side of the Real Debaters. Then go back to those first 10 episodes where I always tell everybody, I'm like, our first episode is like, I think it's working. I think it's on. And then my buddy Martin's like, yeah, I think we're recording.
I think we're recording.
Right. We didn't take that out because we didn't know how.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, you should see like my first writing. It's like, I think there's a meme. It's like when you write your first script, and then you go back to it 10 years later, and then it's like in Jurassic Park when he's looking at a big pile of shit, and he's like, oh, that's a big pile of shit. And it's exactly, I look at my old writing, my first writing, and he's like, oh, that's a pile of shit.
when you first learned, and you know what, I've heard people say it, and someone I respect the most says it's like, stand by your shit, because you never know when your old shit all of a sudden might matter now. right? Yeah. If you delete it, then it's gone forever, right? Yeah. You don't have to stand, you don't have to like it. You just have to stand next to it. So either ways, yes, what I'm saying is, listener, is go backwards, but don't go back too far until you've gotten to know us, and then go back a little further and then listen to it all. And then once you're done that, join the Debaterverse, which is just subscribing to our network, listening to the show, following us on social media, showing up at our events, and coming over and talking to us. If that is something that you do, we would love to hear from you and see you and talk to you and get to know you. And yeah, that's about it. So do that. There's an end credit thing at the end that explains all this. I should just shut the fuck up and let that do its job. But you know, put a microphone in front of my face. This is what happens. We've done that. I'm rambling now. I can't thank you enough, Darcy.
Oh, so awesome. Thank you for having me.
One more time. Thank you so much from the Real Debaters podcast. I have been Michael Petro. My guest has been
Darcy Waite.
There you go. Okay, say your name. And watch all the movies, kids. Watch all the theater and YouTube and everything you can watch. Watch it. Say bye, Darcy.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.
To you fair Spanish ladies.
And just like that, ladies and gentlemen, another Real Debaters production is in the can. Thank you so much for listening. If this is your first, second, third, fifth, 20th time, thank you so much. But thank you to the first timers, the ones here who pressed play for the first time and took a gamble on us. If you like what you heard today, the easiest thing to support the show is just to subscribe. Hit the like button, the follow button, whatever's in your podcast player. Make it so that we're always there every Wednesday for you, okay? That would be huge. If you want to stay in touch with us, if you want to follow us, there's a couple ways to do that. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. We're slowly migrating to YouTube by putting all of the things we've ever put on video onto that site. There's some surprises coming this year that happened a while ago, but I felt needed to be shared because they're part of the Debaterverse. So the YouTube page is coming. But if you want to follow us, it's at Real Debaters Pod on Twitter and Instagram. It's the Real Debaters Podcast on TikTok. All of the links, all of the one-click-away things are in the show notes that you've just listened to. So if you want to follow us there, that would be great too, because then you get to stay in the know of all the things that we do and what we're going to try to do this year and what we've done in the past, so on and so forth. Yeah, so that's how you stay in touch with us. If you want to contact us, it's therealdebaters@gmail.com. All the spelling for all these things is R-E-E-L to keep with the title of the show. So you can send an email to us there, request an episode, want to call out one of us for being a goofball. There's places to do that as well, too. Like the Real Debaters website, you can email us, or you can go straight to the website, rate us in Podchaser, therealdebaters.ca. And if you really, really liked what you heard and you want to support the show in some fashion that requires you spending money, well, we got a couple ways for you to do that as well, too. You can buy our merch at the Prop Shop. It's a store through Threadless, and it's online, and you can order stuff. We've got tons of stuff. We've got our Mass Debater wear there. It's our signature, original, and only line. It's all of our... It's our logo on everything. So you can support us that way. Go to the merch tab in the show notes. Or if you just got a buck and you're like, hey, I want to give you a buck and donate it to your cause, there is a tab in the show notes as well, too, that says donate to the Debaterverse, I think. And if you click on that, well, it takes you to a donation page where you can donate like $1, $3, and $5. And you'll get something for your $1, $3, or $5. Any more than that's just ludicrous. Luda. So, yeah, that's just kind of what I wanted to tell you, that what I said at the end of the show. This is what you should listen to, because this is all about who we are. And now that we've gotten to where we are, we want to interact with you guys more. So these are the ways to do so. This is the way to stay in touch with us. Thank you to everybody again who's listened to the show. Again, you pressed play. You took a chance. That's cool. So... without further ado, this is where I said I would talk more, so ha ha ha, it's eggs on your face. No, I got nothing else for you. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week, and watch all them fucking movies. Bye-bye.